Welcome to Now. I'm David Byrd.
And I'm Lynn Young.
More than 20 states have legalized marijuana for medical use, and it has made a huge difference for one family.
I look at this as one more arrow in my quiver to help my patients. I don't care about the political implications or any of the emotional baggage that it carries. If it works, I'd like to be able to use it.
Hartwell Business is not where Gina Schaefer thought she'd end up, but it worked out that way.
We laugh about it in hindsight, thinking about some of the guys that would come in that would want some product help, and they would ask, is there a man I can talk to? Where's the guy in plumbing? Where's the guy that runs this store?
More and more sophisticated airplane parts are being made on 3D printers.
Meet some students whose lives are changed by chess.
And Dwayne Johnson has a new movie out. We'll talk about Hercules.
That's all coming up on this edition of Now.
In the United States, marijuana is classed as an illegal drug by the federal government.
But nearly half the states have legalized marijuana use to some degree.
Proponents say that some strains of the plant might have exceptional health benefits, including treating pain or inflammation in chronic conditions such as cancer, also treating multiple sclerosis and epilepsy.
Shelley Schlender tells us now about a strain of medical marijuana developed in Colorado that is reputed to reduce seizures in childhood epilepsy.
Are you going to say hello? Where are your smiles today? What do you think, Maggie?
She's usually a lot more smiley and giggly this morning. I think she's struggling to stay awake.
Little Maggie Selmeski can sometimes hold up her head all by herself, and her parents, Rachel and Sean, are grateful. That's a normal milestone for a four-month-old. Maggie is 2 years old.
They're inchstones in the big picture, but they're milestones for our children, mm-hmm. for our special needs kids.
Maggie has a rare form of epilepsy that can trigger hundreds of seizures in a single day. During her first year of life, her parents frequently rushed her to the hospital, where doctors administered medications that probably saved Maggie's life, but had side effects.
They said, well, hopefully when we give her this drug, it will stop the seizures, but it could also stop her heart and her breathing. And so they had the crash cart outside her room ready in case that happened. And that was part of, that was just part of our journey. That was part of what we became normal to mm-hmm. us.
Also normal were daily medications and side effects.
Those pharmaceuticals were very toxic on her body. They drugged her up. She would sleep for 20 hours a day. It wouldn't make a noise all day long. You know, they sedated every part of her body.
Seeking anything less toxic, Rachel learned about a plant that has been credited with reducing seizures for hundreds of years. That plant is cannabis, also known as marijuana.
Maggie was 3 months old at the time. I brought it up to Sean, and I was so naive to not even realize that it was marijuana. Sean was like, no, we're not giving our child weed.
The Selmeskis rejected marijuana because the U.S. government lists it as an illegal drug. So does their home state of Tennessee. But as Maggie turned 1 year old, still on medications and worse than ever, her parents began to rethink their options. They learned that the Stanley brothers in Colorado, where marijuana has been decriminalized, had developed a strain called Charlotte's Web that has virtually eliminated epilepsy for some children. They consulted their Tennessee doctors, who urged them to head west. After moving to Colorado, Rachel and Sean began giving Maggie a few daily drops of oil containing Charlotte's Web. Instantly, they say her digestion improved. She began gaining muscle tone. She was smiling every few hours instead of once every month. These days, she's even trying to roll over. And while things aren't all right for their 2-year-old daughter, Sean says it's no longer a constant crisis. But if they ever cross state lines with Maggie and her daily dose of marijuana, they could be arrested.
I have elderly parents. Rachel has a grandmother who's close to the end. And Maggie can't go back and see them. You know, they have to come here. And for some people, that's just not feasible.
While more than half the states have decriminalized medical marijuana, possession remains a federal crime, and the rules for crossing state lines are murky. In the last year, the Stanley Brothers report that 200 families with epileptic children have moved to Colorado for Charlotte's Web, with thousands more on the waiting list. The Charlotte's Web strain is very low in the hallucinogenic chemical THC, but may be the highest in the world for cannabidiol. Better known as CBD, the chemical has anti-inflammatory properties. Neurologist Edward Ma at the University of Colorado would like to compare this plant-based medicinal to approved epilepsy drugs. But federal law strictly limits marijuana research, and Ma says it's time for the government to let scientists study Charlotte's Web.
I look at this as one more arrow in my quiver to help my patients. I don't care about the political implications or any of the emotional baggage that it carries. If it works, I'd like to be able to use it.
What do you think, Bug? What do you think? Can you talk to us?
The Someskis agree that it's time to reframe the marijuana debate. They are hopeful that growing support for Charlotte's Web will lead to reforms at the federal level. For Voice of America, I'm Shelley Schlender in Littleton, Colorado.
I've had some personal experience with this. Some friends of ours had a little boy who had the exact condition that Shelley talked about with all the seizures and everything. He couldn't sit up. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't do anything.
He couldn't move his muscle.
He couldn't move his muscles at all. And they actually had to leave Virginia and move to Arizona
to get marijuana
in order to get the medical marijuana. They were actually using this stuff called...
Now they can just move to D.C. for that.
Yeah, right.
If it's...
Well, maybe they'll move back.
I think it's a really good cause if it's used for the right purpose.
Yeah. To see video of the story, too, you can log on to our website, www.voanews.com.
And if you have any questions or comments, post them to our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter. We're at Now VOA Show. Lynn, do you ever do any work around your place, like fixing stuff, like fixing the sink or whatever?
I will love to, but I know my limit ability, so that's why I have home insurance. What about you?
Well, I do some DIY or do-it-yourself. Like I had to replace a toilet in my bathroom and a faucet in the sink and stuff. But sometimes I can't find exactly what I need to get the job done.
So do you just go to the internet? What do you do?
Well, there's a hardware store close to my house, and if they don't have it, I figure I can't get it because they have everything. And they know, you're fixing the drainage trap on
and they can give you the knowledge about information about how to do it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
A lot of them are run by... You know, all those muscled guys.
That's the traditional
impression.
Yeah.
But the woman we're about to meet didn't start out in the hardware business.
But as Julie Tabo tells us, Gina Schaefer has turned what was a job into a career.
Gina Schaefer had never intended to become involved in the hardware business. But a particular situation at home changed everything.
My husband and I had bought a condo that needed to be fixed up. And there was no hardware store that was local. So I was about to get laid off from my tech job and decided I would open a hardware store.
That was in 2003. Today, she owns 9 thriving hardware stores in and around the Washington, D.C. area, serving a total of 1,200 customers a day. But starting a business in a field usually dominated by men had its challenges.
We laugh about it in hindsight, thinking about some of the guys that would come in that would want some product help, and they would ask, is there a man I can talk to? Where's the guy in plumbing? Where's the guy that runs this store?
But over time, that gender bias dissipated.
There are lots of folks that come in, male and female, who have never had to fix their toilet, for example, and they just want advice on how to do it. And if you can make them comfortable and be confident in that answer, they're not worried about whether or not you're a man or a woman.
She credits her success to several things. Each of Schaefer's stores is affiliated with Ace Hardware, a 90-year-old multinational U.S. corporation that lends its name to independent hardware stores, which gives them credibility and more.
So they give us that buying power, and then they wrap a whole bunch of really great services around it, whether it be training, store layouts, planning, financial organization.
That buying power allows Schaefer to sell a variety of items, ranging from paint supplies to light bulbs, at competitive prices.
should be more than enough.
Okay.
Good deal. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, man. Thank you.
Schaefer also credits her employees, who she says earn above average wages and receive health and other benefits.
What we really decided is that we wanted to be a great place to work. We wanted people to be able to raise their children by working here. We wanted them to enjoy coming to work because they knew that their employers really valued their skill set.
And either turn it, and that's...
Christina Amaya has been with the company for 6 years.
I like it here. They respect you. They're very considerate of everything, as you as a person, instead of you just as an employee. And I like that very much because... it makes you feel, you know, important.
And happy employees translate into satisfied customers.
I think I come with more of customer service than anything else. Products you can probably buy anywhere, but customer service, you can't replace.
Done and done. Thank you kindly.
Schaefer hopes to open more stores as the demand for urban hardware stores continues to grow. Julie Tabo, VOA News, Washington.
To see video of Gina's story, log on to our website, www.voanews.com.
And if you have any comments, be sure to post them to our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
Lynn, do you like to fly?
I won't say I like it, but I don't hate it. I love the food there, though.
You like airplane food?
Yes.
Really?
Is that weird?
You're one of the few. Well, now it's...
I'm special.
No, but the thing is, now they don't even bring you the food unless it's like, you know, a six-hour flight or something.
No. So for Asian flights, this is totally different.
Oh.
During like a two-hour flight, you'll be served a meal. It's a hot meal.
Get out.
And then you'll have beverage at first, and then you're going to have beverage after the meal.
Get out.
And you have a snack. It's wonderful. You got to take an Asian flight sometime. Sometimes it's more expensive than American ones. I don't know why.
One of the reasons it is real expensive is how much the fuel costs. But as George Putich tells us, some airplane manufacturers are turning to 3D printing to make the parts that make planes lighter and more fuel efficient.
The high price of today's airfares is due in large part to the cost of fuel, which is why manufacturers are striving to build lighter planes with more efficient engines and more seats. The bodies of modern jets, like Boeing 787 Dreamliner, are made from composite materials, usually carbon-reinforced plastic. Some plastic parts created in a 3D printer are already incorporated into the Airbus A350 jet. But the new model, XWB, will be the first with parts printed with titanium. Airbus Emerging Technologies Manager Peter Sander says technicians learned to print even geometrically very complex shapes.
Normally, this is a part of a fuel system. It's two pipes in one. And it's normally welded out of 10 parts. So in this case, with 3D printing, we have the chance to integrate the bracket of the pipe and two pipes at one and print it in one shot.
3D printing is also a solution when parts are no longer available. Sander says when Airbus engineers needed a discontinued spare part for seats, it was easy to print perfect copies.
So we did a redesign in a week and printing in a week. So the redesign itself cost 2 hours. We took the manual drawing, redesigned it, and they printed it and put it on the desk 1 week later to the spare part guys.
The technology is developing rapidly, and one can easily imagine entire aircraft assembled out of printed parts. Airbus executive Axel Crane says it will take a long time, but notes that in the meantime, the number of printed parts will keep increasing.
We're investing a lot of money in aerodynamic improvement, in material, in noise reduction, etc. But 3D printing is probably the area with the highest gain over time.
As a sign of things to come, the giant U.S. conglomerate, General Electric, says it is investing $50 million in a plant that will print fuel nozzles for its aircraft engines. George Putich, VOA News, Washington.
To see video of this story, visit our website, www.voanews.com.
And be sure to post your thoughts to our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And follow us on Twitter, at Now VOA Show.
David, do you play chess?
Sometimes. I used to play when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Now I don't play very often, but...
Is it because you're not good at it?
Well, when I do play, I play online, and there's this program called Jester, and Jester just makes me look foolish. It does. I'm constantly losing. I mean, I can be at the beginner level.
Well,
you know, maybe. And there's the thing about it is, Jester will get up in your world and go, I won.
They will mock you?
It will mock you when you lose.
That's so funny.
That's not very funny.
Well, maybe if you had gone to the school featured in our next story, you'd be better.
Maybe so. Bernard Schussman takes us now to a special summer camp that is enriching kids' lives by teaching them the game.
Chess is a way of life at Brooklyn Intermediate School 318. The game provides an important message for the youngsters, says chess program coordinator and assistant principal John Galvin.
So most of our kids come from disadvantaged backgrounds, which means that no one's really given them a leg up in life. So we think our program really teaches kids that they can be great at something. So when our kids from Williamsburg, Brooklyn go around and beat all the best private schools in the country, beat the best high schools in the country, we think that sends a powerful message.
80 students are on the chess team during the school year, while summer chess is open to 40 kids. They learn a lot of skills playing chess. Advanced planning, decision-making, and consequences.
In reading, you have to imagine the story or what's going on. But in chess, you also have to see what is your opponent's doing and what are they threatening.
I like chess because it's a strategy game and I just like studying it. I like studying the game.
I think it helps with a lot of things. It helps with math, helps with reading, it helps with writing, and it's also a fun game.
The program at IS318 has become known worldwide. Norwegian chess grandmaster Magnus Carlsen, who is number one in the world, visited the school in 2012 to congratulate the newly crowned national champions. And an award-winning feature film, Brooklyn Castle, highlighted the team's successes. The school has won hundreds of trophies, but Principal Eric Windley says the key thing chess offers is opportunity for every student.
Anybody can play chess, whether you're shy, whether you're outgoing, whether you have a lot of friends, you don't have a lot of friends. Chess is a game that anybody can play. And once they play it, they like it.
Popo Efkoro, a graduate of IS318's chess program, and now on his way to college on a scholarship, coaches these summer students.
Life is a game of chess. You know, you have to be able to make the right moves. You have to be able to, when you're confronted with a situation, you have to be able to sit back, analyze the situation before you go on with this, before you make a decision and proceed with that decision. So, you know, given that, I'll always be able to take that away from the game, and I'll always be able to use that in my everyday life as I go on.
98% of the IS318 chess students graduate from high school, and most go on to college. Bernard Schussman, VOA News, Brooklyn, New York.
To see video of this story, visit our website, www.voanews.com.
And how about you? Do you like chess? Are you good at it? Let us know by posting your comments on our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
Tomorrow way too far away, and we can't get back yesterday. But we young right now, we got right now, so get up right now. 'Cause all we got is right now.
Former pro wrestler Dwayne The Rock Johnson stars in a new telling of the story of the Greek hero and demigod Hercules.
The story is based on a series of graphic novels by the late Stephen Moore, Hercules, The Thracian Wars.
The film takes place after Hercules' legendary 12 labors and has him as a mercenary with a band of warriors. His companions include the Amazon, Atalanta, the mystical seer, Amphiaraus, and a childhood friend and legendary thief, Autolycus.
The troop is looking for one last profitable quest, which will allow them to retire.
They get the call from Princess Ergenia, played by Rebecca Ferguson, who asks Hercules and his band to come to the aid of her father, King Cotys of Thrace, who's portrayed by Oscar nominee John Hurt.
Cotys is at war with the powerful sorcerer Rhysers, portrayed by Norwegian actor Tobias Santorman.
At the Hollywood premiere, Dwayne Johnson told the Associated Press that he trained harder physically for this movie than he had for any other role.
It was grueling, and it was for 6 months, and then it was for an additional 6 months once I got there. So it was the most challenging role that I had ever taken on physically and mentally, and so. But I'm happy to be here and happy to know that the movie's good. So we made a good one. That's a good thing.
Director Brett Ratner, known for his films Money Talks, Rush Hour, Tower Heist, and The X-Men Last Stand, says that Johnson didn't need to bulk up, but he did it anyway.
He came to see me, came to my house, said, "I want to see you." He said, "I was born to play Hercules." When Dwayne Johnson tells you he's born to play Hercules, you believe him. At the end of saying this, and I said, "You got the part," he says to me, "And I'm really going to work out hard for this movie." And I'm like, "Dwayne," he was coming off of Pain and Gain. His shoulders were up to his ears. I said, "Dwayne, you can't get any bigger than this. Please." And he was like, "Trust me, I'm going to." The commitment of this guy is unprecedented.
Rufus Sewell, who played Autolycus, said he worked out too, but then he met The Rock.
And by the end of it, eating nothing but salmon and chicken and broccoli, I was thinking, I'm in great shape. I'm looking pretty good, you know. And then Dwayne Johnson turns up and I have to stand next to him, which changes everything.
British actor Ian McShane plays Amphiaraus. He says he wasn't a big fan of working out to prepare for his role.
No, I trained a little bit. No, I get boring as hell. What, going in the gym every day and doing 500 push-ups and then eating steamed chicken with asparagus 6 times a day to build up a little tissue?
The movie also stars Russian-born supermodel Irina Shayk as Hercules' wife, Megara.
The role requires Shayk, the real-life girlfriend of soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo, to do a nude scene, something she said she had no problem with.
Oh, no, not at all, because, you have to remember that you have to be, doesn't matter how you look, you have to be confident with your body, you know? Doesn't matter if you're big or small, you know, you just have to know your best angles, and, you know, again, it's acting, you know, you have to feel comfortable in front of the camera, and it's a lot of people behind this, you know, behind the camera, and you just have to, you know, just have to be confident and deliver well. No, I was not nervous at all, not at all.
At the premiere, Dwayne Johnson says that he shares a lot in common with the mythical character he plays, especially relying on his friends and family.
I have a lot of Hercules in my world, by the way. I think as I got older, by the way, you know, the Hercules, people who I rely on as pillars of strength are really just everybody in my family. So, and by the way, I saw the movie the other night for the first time in 3D, IMAX. It's crazy. It's insane. I was very happy with the movie we put together.
Hercules also stars Joseph Fiennes and Danish actress Ingrid Bosso-Bordeaux.
Hercules is distributed by Paramount Pictures and MGM and is rated PG-13 for epic battle sequences, violence, suggestive comments, some brief strong language, and partial nudity.
So do you plan to see Hercules? Let us know by logging onto our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And you can always post your comments on Twitter at NowVOAShow. Thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Now.
If you want to see video of the stories on our show, log on to our website, www.voanews.com.
If you'd like to hear the program again, visit www.voanews.com/now, or we're on iTunes.
Remember to post your comments on our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NowVOAShow.
Patrice Martin produces our program.
The managing editor of VOA English is Diane. And Gal.
Until tomorrow, I'm Lin Yang.
I'm David Byrd. Tune in Wednesday for another edition of Now.